There's something really interesting in the beginning of the Parsha, in Parsha's Toldos, which I think is worth some consideration. It's true both in the level, a little bit of Lamdas and Halacha, certainly, I think, also in the world of Machshava. Yaakov, in the beginning of the Parsha, buys the Bechora from Esav. A lot of discussion there in the Mefarshim, what exactly he's purchasing. It sounds from Rashi, he's buying the right to offer Karbanos going forward. The Rashbam writes, he's really buying the Bechorah, including the Pishnayim and all that comes with it. It's a simple pshat of the Gemara in Sota. Also, people point out he was really buying the Bechorah. But one of the interesting things that Yaakov does when he buys it is, Torah tells us in Bereishis Chafhei Lama Gimel, Vayomer Yaakov, Hishava li kayom, Vayishava lo, Vayimkores Bechorasa li Yaakov. Part of the purchase of the Bechor involves Yaakov telling Esav, I want you to take a shvua, that you're committing to this sale, that it's a real sale. And Esav, in turn, takes a shvua. The fact that Yaakov asks Esav to take a shvua is very, very, I would say, perplexing. As the Drash HaRan, as the Ran points out in Drash HaRan, Chazal tells that on that very day, Esav violated five averas. One of the averas he violated was he was kofar be'ikar. The idea that he would nevertheless be reliable for a shvua is incredibly odd. Why make Esav take a shvua? Esav committed murder. Esav did a lot of really terrible averas. Why would Yaakov think it's beneficial? What was the purpose of requesting or asking for a shvua to be taken? Now, this shvua, interestingly enough, gets quoted in the world of halacha in a fascinating context. The Mishnah Lamelech and Hilchos Melachim points out that there seems to be a stira in Tosfos, whether non-Jews, B'nai Noach, that commit and take a neder, whether they are obligated to honor their nedarim or not. Seems to be a stira in Tosfos in different places. The Mishnah Melech talks about it. Mishnah Melech says one of the rayas that B'nai Noach are chayav, if they commit to take a shvua, to honor that shvua and that neder, is from Yaakov making Esav take a shvua. That if Yaakov made Esav take a shvua, Esav's certainly not Jewish, it must be that Yaakov thought that it was binding on Esav. But here he asked not the halachic question, but what was behind it? Why is he demanding? Why is he asking for a shvua as part of this? As part of this sale? So the first mahalach is a very, very famous shita in some of the Rishonim, which is quoted in the world of Lamdas because of some of its implications. The Rivash has a tshuva, as is, I believe, somewhat well known, Simin Shin Chav Chas, where the Rivash says, you know, someone wrote to me and told me that the Rush said, you know why you take a shvua? Because you can't buy a Bechor. You can't buy a Bechor because it's a Davar Shalom Bala Olam. It doesn't exist. It's nothing tangible for me to purchase. Nothing to talk about right now. You haven't inherited anything. How can I purchase it? So he says, I heard in the name of the Rush that even though a Davar Shalom Bala Olam, you can't purchase, if you take a shvua, you can then purchase a Davar Shalom Bala Olam. So says the Rivash, I heard in the name of the Rush that is the pshat. Why did Yaakov make Esav take a shvua? Not because he trusted Esav per se, but because the shvua would make the sale legally binding. That's how you would overcome the problem of a davar shalo bala olam. The Rivash says, I don't believe the Rush ever said this. It's all kodem matan Torah anyway. There's no way that's an actual real pshat. But, as many point out, we have the Ksav Yad now of the Torah's Peirush al HaTorah. The Torah is the son of the Rush. And the Torah, in his Peirush al HaTorah, quotes this pshat from the Rush that the reason why you had the Shvua was because to compensate for the Davar Shalo Bala Olam, you know, problems. Not all accept that. It has a lot to do with the lumdus of what the problem is of Davar Shalo Bala Olam. If the problem is a problem that you don't have enough Gemiras Das, then maybe taking a Shvua can compensate for that Gemiras Das. The Orachaim HaKadosh says, even if it is about Das, I don't think that could work here. But that's more or less Mahalach number one. Mahalach number two is in the Drash HaRan. The Ran writes Drash HaRan. It's a very hard piece to understand. If I understand Pshat correctly, what the Ran says is as follows. It's true that he didn't trust Esav as much, but he knew and he was nervous that Esav was going to backtrack. And if Esav was going to backtrack, he wanted to make sure that if this would ever come in legal proceedings, if it would ever come in front of different shoftim, we know that there were certain Batei Din or shoftim that were functioning, he wanted to be able to say he even made a shvua. That's something which substantiates certain actions, that concretizes certain kinyanim. And he knew that even if Esav, when he wanted almost for himself and really for the shoftim, do you take a shvua, that was going to strengthen the case, he argued, to be able to make that particular argument, you know, if it would get there. But there's a third mahalach which is fascinating. Why is he taking a shvua? Not for the halachic factor of Davar Shalom Bala Olam, and not because the Drash HaRan for others, but maybe on some level it was a shvua that he thought Esav was actually going to cause Esav to not back out. The Radak writes, Hishava Shema Achar Shetokal Tischarei. I'm nervous you're going to regret. The Shvu will stop you from backtracking. The Ramban also, Hishava Lishol Te'arer Al HaMechira Le'olam. Take a shvuah that you're never gonna backtrack. Hishava Liza Chizkuni says she'ain chachozir. I want a commitment. You're never gonna backtrack. Okay, but why is he trusting Esav? Why is he trusting Esav? Why rely that Esav is gonna be able to be there? So I think there's two mahalchim here. One is in the safe is some of the midrashim. The midrash Agada that says v'halo Yaakov hayodeya ba'achiv shehu rasha. He knew Esav was a rasha. Why is he giving a shvuah? So he says, but mahaya mashbio, what was the token of the shvua? What was the content of the shvua? Hishbio b'chayi aviv, shaya Esav oavo. He said, I want you to take a shvua on Esa on Yitzchak's life. Meaning he found something in Esav that was pure and that was real, and that was Esav's love and commitment to his father. Esav, Chazal tells, was Mekayim Kibud Av V'Aim. And he wanted to say, okay, I don't trust you for anything else, but this shvua on your father's life, this you won't backtrack. This you won't backtrack. I think there's another mahalach, and you can sort of, I would say, take it or leave it. But it's one that I think is a little bit intriguing for us at least to work off of, and that's as follows. There are achronim that point out, it'll start with a tshuva achronim, but we'll try and develop an idea, which I think is important. In this entire sugya of Yaakov and Esav, it gets quoted in another sugya also. The sugya in Bab Metzia and some other places, whether you're chasid amemona, chasid ashvu asa. Chazal tell us sometimes that even people who violate a lot of averas, they don't violate the Isser of Shvuah. Shvuah is considered to be a particularly severe kind of an avera. That's what I quoted last night. I said this years ago and couldn't find where it is. It could be in Riki Eger and Ksubis. I don't remember. I couldn't find this. I found it last night in searching, I don't know, Chachma, I don't know, whatever, in Tshuva's Tirosh V'Yitzhar, Simen Tzadivav Os Yitzchas. That one of the things we learn from here is that Yaakov, even though Esav violated all of those averas on that day, even though he committed murder, and even though he was kofar be'ikar, chashed on all of those averas is still lo chashed ashvu asa. He still thought that the chance that when it comes to a shvua, Esav is going to be reliable. What I think is intriguing about that is it tells a lot about the figure of Esav. The figure of Esav is often depicted in some midrashim, as if Esav, from the time that he is born, is kulo ra. That Esav's the person who is entirely evil. Esav's a person with no redeeming qualities. Esav is who Esav is. And that's one of the reasons, one of the understandings as to Rav Hirsch, who critiques Yitzhak and Rivka a bit on the parenting level. It's because of you that Esav became Esav. So one of the responses is, and based on the Midrashim, Esav may have been rotten to the core. But there's another Mahalach out there which understands that Esav is a far more complex character. And Esav's a person that was sort of, he became Esav, but that was a process. That was a process. And on that day, it's true, Esav violated a lot of different averas. But the way I would say it is, you take a shavua at that moment, because the fact that you messed up today was a really bad day, doesn't mean that tomorrow, in relating to your shavua, there isn't still something there that's going to tell you, I'm not going to backtrack on this. And that there's no way of knowing, because you are who you are right now, it doesn't mean that 3 days from now, there's not going to be a little bit of a shift. It doesn't mean that despite violating Avera X, it's not a guarantee you're also going to violate Avera Y. People are wildly complex. And that's true even for Rishayim. Rishayim are Rishayim. But sometimes there's a degree of complexity. It's not all or nothing, or sometimes it hasn't yet declared itself as all or nothing. This was a monumental day, Chazal tell us, where Esav violated a lot of Averas. Until that point in time, according to Chazal, Esav maybe in certain Midrashim wasn't that terrible at that point in time. This was the day where everything fell apart. But no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. No one was going to be able to say on that day what was going to happen going forward. So Yaakov said, Esav, it's true. Right now I know this was not a good day for you at all. But I want a shvua. Because this way, even if tomorrow or the next day you become a different kind of person, the shvua you're still going to relate to with a certain degree of chashivas. That Esav has that degree of complexity. He really is somewhere, where you're a little bit in between. There's a line that Moshe Wolfson quotes that is somewhat relevant here. Again, in a bit of a different way. That Moshe Wolfson, I used to say from Simcha Banu Pshischa, I think, that Esav we envision as this terrible Russia. He says Esav was dressed in all white, singing the Gunim Etchal Shittis. He was just also Esav. And that sometimes the external appearance is not everything about a person. And that sometimes doesn't mean Esav was kind of keep it off aim. He was a huge Russia. But it doesn't mean that externally he always looked like that. And it doesn't mean that klapi chutz, that's always what it was. And it doesn't mean that there's confidence that tomorrow is going to be like that either. Esav today was a really bad day. But chashed on all these averas, maybe lo chashed ashvu asa. say some of the Achronim, which I think is intriguing. So why did Yaakov make Esav take a Shvua? Either the Rush, it's a Din Davar Shlo B'Olam, that a Shvua allows you to purchase something in a Davar Shlo B'Olam. The Yerachayim questioning that, the Rivash questioning that. The second Mahalach for Josh Aran is about the other Shoftim that were there. But the third Mahalach, maybe Yaakov on some level did trust Esav, either because of the Medrash, swear on your father's life that Esav would never backtrack, or even chashan all of those things, there's no guarantee that he's chashan shvuasa also. The shvua could really help. Either we would say because maybe tomorrow is going to be a different day, a monumental day for Esav. It was a big shift, and it wasn't. We know it didn't. It was a monumental day, and it did lead Esav down to a path of rishas, but at that moment, it wasn't necessarily going to be so clear. Either way, have a wonderful rest of your day.